And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial Services. I can see you on the other side of the desk having a chuckle over that email. Oh, I'm sure you have thoughts.
Oh, look, I think it's one of those things that, you know, as we've witnessed or as we've listened to, and you go and pre-vote or any vote, you know, there's lie upon lie upon lie upon lie from different liars of different parties, and, you know.
There's been lots and lots of lovely political promises over the last 5 weeks. Yeah. Of course, the difficulty is after the election, most of them get forgotten.
Oh, totally. And I think if I was going to run, I would run on the basis, my catch cry would be, you know, we'll do everything we can to remove land tax on investment properties in Canberra, and I reckon you'd get 90% of the vote. I think that would be as almost as good as someone saying, oh, we're going to give free breakfast to kids in Queensland. Like, you know, where do you draw the line here? You can promise whatever you want, but if you're not going to deliver it, what's the point of saying it?
Well, yeah, well, we'll see how it all unfolds tomorrow, but that's not why we're here.
No. Far more important stuff.
We're here to talk, we're here to talk money matters today, and we've got a topic about the choice between building up some sort of emergency fund or investing in income protection insurance. Well, I suppose, theoretically, you could probably do both, couldn't you?
Well, look, exactly, and I really just wanted to have this conversation because I'm finding that people come in and one of the conversations that comes to light is, how can we reduce cost? And this really is a case of saying, well, what does your situation allow? You can have an emergency fund as a way of saying, well, what am I doing? I'm trying to protect myself in the short to medium term. What's the upside of that? I've got access to capital. I've got money in the bank that's earning. It doesn't cost me anything from a premium or an expense perspective like paying for insurance would. You've also then got the ability to use it for whatever you want at a time that suits you. It's about a short to medium term proposition. And I think for people that are trying to get costs down, getting rid of income protection is an option. And I find insurance conversations are really sort of driven by the immediate problem that people have from a cash flow standpoint. And I'm a massive advocate of income protection. I think if the listener has any form of income protection, I would have income protection first. I meant to say any type of cover. I would have income protection first because your capacity to work and earn, when you look at the value of lost wages over your life to age 65, the number is generally significantly more than saying, well, I'll cover the mortgage on the house and cover the kids' school fees for 1.2. Your wage value could be anything from $2.5 to $5 million when you look at indexation over a 15, 20, 30-year period, depending on your age. So I want people to think about the emergency fund as a short-term problem. When it comes to income protection, I guess you're talking about greater security, greater certainty, greater duration, and you are mitigating the financial cost to yourself by outsourcing that to the insurance company by way of paying a premium.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people miss that income protection premiums are tax deductible. They are tax deductible to you, or they are tax deductible to the policy owner. Generally, the other option there is it's held through super. And income protection through super is a much better option than none at all. I would always advocate, as a general rule, you have it in your own name, because the vast majority of people earn more than the tax rate of super at 15%. So if your tax rate's 30, 34, 39, 49%, I'd much rather you claim that premium at your marginal tax rate than in a super fund at 15%. Now, if you can't afford that because cost of living has blown out and income protection is going to go, I would then seriously think about either moving it into superannuation if you can, if you have the right vehicle, or getting a policy that is owned by your super fund itself that might require some underwriting, but it will take the burden of the premium out of your personal cash flow, put it into the super fund, and the upside of that is twofold. One, you freed up cash flow to live. That's very important. Two, you still have your wages covered, but you're not getting the same rate of deduction because you've changed the ownership. So whilst we talk emergency fund and income protection, I don't think one replaces the other. I think if you can't have income protection in your own name, look at super first. If you still can't do that, then have an emergency fund that allows you to be able to self-insure for a shorter period of time, or consider your offset account a form of emergency funding. You know, if you have a couple of hundred thousand in your offset account, 20,000, 5,000, 10,000, all right, that will cover you for a period of time overlaid with annual leave, sick leave with an employer. Those that are employees have greater security because they have that bank of accumulated leave. Income protection for the self-employed person, I think, is essential. And then your self-employed person may consider business insurance and other things in relation to the continuity of the operation that they run. So there are pros and cons for both here, but I think you need to look at your situation and say, what can I get away with? And is an emergency fund a suitable strategy to get through the current cash flow stress to then look to take another policy out in the future? With that last comment, I do warn the listener of this. If you had a policy in relation to income protection that was taken out prior to October 2021 and you let it lapse or you cancel it, you cannot get back the quality of the contract on a new policy taken out after that date, because the government, they know everything. They stepped into that part of the industry and dropped a nuclear bomb on really good contracts. So income protection have been wonderfully structured contracts with amazing benefits. The government stepped in and said, we'll address affordability. They didn't. They stripped out all the good parts of a contract and said, oh, the insurance companies won't charge the same premium for less benefit. That will never happen. It's exactly what happened. So now you pay a similar premium for a significantly inferior product. So again, I just say that if you've had a policy for a number of years, check and see when it started, because if you cancel it, you won't be able to get back a number of key definitions, which are hugely, hugely important when it comes to claim time and the assessment of pre-disability income, your ability to work and not work, as well as a number of other lump sum inclusions that were removed on all new policies from late 2021 onwards.
Wow, there's a lot in there. Mm. From the sound of it, what you're telling me is that it's a really good idea to have income protection insurance, but the insurance that's available now is not as good as it used to be thanks to changes in the regulation.
100%. Yeah, look, exactly right. And again, I want people to be aware of that, because if now's a time when cash flow's under duress and people look to, well, look, nobody likes paying insurance premiums, okay? Mm. Like, that's income protection, anything, any sort of insurance. No one likes doing it. But it's one of those things that you just have to have. And I think when you think that your ability to earn is your greatest asset, because what you do then funds everything else in your life,
yeah,
I'd look at it another way and say, and I said this to somebody the other day, if you had an ATM in the lounge room that spat out $200,000 a year, would you insure it? And the person in my office said, oh, well, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person's wife said, oh, I've never been called an ATM before. But that's the only way I can make that risk real.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that, oh, that's okay. It's all right. I've got some sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you've got a 30-year mortgage on your home secured by 4 weeks of sick leave. Yeah, that makes sense. Nothing wrong with that. Till you need it. So again, it's think about what's right for you. Use the resources that you have. Think about a structure that's appropriate. If income protection is working for you, great. If you can't afford it, look to move it into super. If you really, really can't do that either, then consider an emergency fund as a short-term backup with the view of getting back into a longer-term policy for greater security and duration.
When you talk about an emergency fund, effectively you're just talking about a pool of savings that you have managed to accumulate and put aside.
Yep.
So the challenge there, of course, is actually accumulating those savings in the first place, isn't it?
That's right. But people often come in and weigh up, well, I've got 30 grand in my offset account. Do I need to pay 300 a month for income protection?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got issues that I need to fund. I've got food, I've got kids, I've got mortgage payments. You know, there's a lot of financial stress out there. But whether there's financial stress or not, for me, doesn't mitigate the potential risk that you are carrying. And that's the case with anything. So it's really about looking at, well, what could I call my emergency fund? Is it sick leave? If you've got 2 years worth of sick leave at work, happy days. I'd argue short term, you don't need it. If you don't, and you've just taken a new job, and you've got no accumulated leave and no savings, gulp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about considering, what is my emergency fund? Is it money in the bank? Is it an inheritance? Is it my offset account? Is it my sick leave? Is it my accumulated annual leave with my employer? It doesn't have to be necessarily cash in the bank as such, because if you don't consider your leave valuable, I think that's a misnomer as well, because it really, really is. But if you're going to change employment in the current environment, again, your needs for an emergency fund may change, because you leave, you don't get to move your sick leave.
No.
So I think people need to be mindful of that before they make those decisions.
Absolutely. So, and while it takes time to accumulate an emergency fund, the benefit of having income replacement or income protection insurance is that it comes into effect the moment you pay the premium.
Well, that's right. And paying $300 a month, whilst people say I've got to pay it, it might be a lot easier to pay that than to save $5,000.
Exactly.
So again, don't look at it as the evil monster of I'm spending money on something. $200-$300 a month, or whatever the premium is, may be more appropriate for you than what you could save. So I'd argue that you go down the income protection rate in that example. If you can save quickly, or you have access to money already, then you could say, well, do I reduce my income protection? Do I reduce the benefit? Do I reduce the waiting period? Because that can significantly reduce the cost and still give you a benefit through to age 65. So I think people need to be mindful of their situation, because just because the guys at Gulf said, oh, this is what we do, doesn't mean it's right for your situation. And I think that's where people can get themselves in trouble without thinking about, well, if a premium's cheaper than what I can save, keep the premium.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean the premium's bad.
No, no. In fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah, well, it's a lot cheaper, right? Yeah. It's a savings plan instead of a bucket.
Exactly right. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is in the studio with me. Today we're talking about the choice between having an emergency fund or investing in some income protection insurance, or potentially don't make the choice, just have both.
Mm.
So what have we learned so far today?
Well, I think we learned before the ad break that, you know, paying a premium is more appropriate where you can't save quickly,
mm-hmm.
because it's sort of chicken and egg. I need to save, but cash flow is killing me. So how do I do that? So a premium would be a way to secure your income and ability to work for a much longer time frame with greater certainty. The premium is tax deductible, and a great option where you don't already have a safety blanket in some cash, accumulated leave with your employer, something that you could draw on, like money in your offset account. So I think there's an argument for both here, which we sort of discussed. Where you do have a good chunk of leave and you've been with the same employer for an extended period of time, then maybe think about reducing the monthly benefit or reducing the waiting period to bring the premium down as much as you can. That will make your cover far more efficient. And I'm a big advocate of income protection, because when you look at your working time frame, and most contracts end at 65 for income protection. Yes, for those out there, you could get them to 70, but they're not available any longer. Age 65 is generally the age where they say, well, you have the ability to work, and if it's taken from you, if you add up your wage from 40 to 65, there's 25 years of your wage indexed at 3%. It's a much bigger number from a valuation perspective than, oh, I've got $1 million of life insurance. A lot of people see the life insurance as more valuable just because it's a bigger number they can visualise. Add up your wages through to age 65, add 3%, you'll find that it's generally bigger than your lump sum cover you have on your home. So pay the premium to avoid the need to save for an emergency fund. If you already have one, cancel the income protection if cash flow is tight and having access to capital is more important to you, because you can use that for anything. You have access to it. You do earn or reduce the cost of a mortgage if it's in your offset, and you can apply that to anything you need it for. There's no rules, there's no claim process, there's nothing you need to undertake to get access to it, whereas with an income protection policy, there is. You've got employment definitions, you've got capacity tests, you've got things you need and hurdles you need to jump over to be able to get it. It's paid on a monthly basis, it's not paid annually, and it's paid in arrears. So if you have a 90-day wait, you get it in 120 days because it's paid monthly in arrears. A lot of people say, oh, can I go 90 days with no – it's not 90 days. It's 120 days with no money because, again, paid monthly in arrears. So the emergency fund argument is, well, it's accessible, it's there, it's quick, it's safer. There's an argument for that. The counter argument to that is, well, income protection will cover you to age 65 if you lose your capacity and you've got a 30-year mortgage secured by 4 weeks of sick leave and 20 grand in the bank. I'd argue you still need income protection because it has the longevity to protect everything that's valuable in your life.
Of course, the thing to remember is that particularly when you're young, you probably don't imagine ever being incapacitated and you might dismiss or disregard the risk of that. But I do know somebody who has actually accessed income protection insurance and it's been an absolute lifesaver. So it's important to take it seriously. We get to the point now, Luke, where I have to ask you, where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so office number 6260-4749, envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. That's Envision with an E. We've got the podcast, the strategy stack at Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra on YouTube. So we've got all the shows there. You can watch them on your iPhone or Android if you're that way inclined, and you don't need to listen to us, you can watch it later. We've also got the TikTok, the Strategy Stacker handle, and all of this sort of stuff is in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning in all good bookstores, and Booktopia because it's back.
And Booktopia is back, that's exactly right. And it is. Of course, I'll tell you what else is back, it's almost Christmas. So
it is.
Think about it as another stocking stuffer
there
this
we
year.
Go. There we go. I like where you're taking that.
It's 2 months and a week, I think, something like that, till Christmas.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's going to be almost in no time.
It almost is. Luke, thanks very much. We'll catch you next week.
See you next week.